Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4. This is the contemporary English version. The Lord said, Ezekiel, I hear the people of Israel using the old saying, sour grapes eaten by parents leave a sour taste in the mouths of their children. Now tell them that I am the Lord God, and as surely as I live, that saying will no longer be used in Israel. The lives of all people belong to me, parents as well as children. However, only those who sin will be put to death.
In 2 Kings 24, there is an interesting passage that gives some background to what to this period of time, the history that's going on here. In verse 14, it says, King Nebuchadnezzar took all of Jerusalem captive, including all the commanders and the best of all the soldiers, craftsmen, artisans, 10,000 in all. Only the poorest people were left in the land. Nebuchadnezzar led King Jehoiachin away as a captive to Babylon, along with the queen mother, his wives and officials, and all the Jerusalem's elite. He also exiled 7,000 of the best troops, 1,000 craftsmen and artisans, all of whom were strong and fit for war. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did to Judah when he invaded it and led all those captives away. He basically gutted the country of anybody that could resist him. Anybody that could supply creative energy or artistic energy or military help, all of those people were gone. That was in 597, and Ezekiel was part of that group. The book seems to imply that the exiles lived in an area of Babylon called Tel Abib by the river Chebar. Probably they lived there from 593 to 571 B.C. It was a long time to be gone away from home. Scholars don't know with certainty where this place was, but there's some guesses that are made that are unimportant to us. As you can well imagine, if you were one of these people of Judah that were taken away, you might have been embittered by this event. Embittered because you lost your neighborhood, you lost your friends, you lost your temple, you lost your favorite restaurant and the theater that you went to on the weekends for entertainment. You lost all of that, and you're in this foreign land trying to get along. God had said to them, make a home there for yourself. Buy real estate and get your kids in school and do your business with the local Babylonian businessman. Make a life for yourself. But even though God told them to do that, still there was that bitterness that this was not our fault. Why did this happen to us? I suppose that every region, every nation, every family has aphorisms that they live by. And we live by these aphorisms and never really question them, I don't think, a lot of times. So, for example, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's another way of saying, don't rock the boat. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe, don't ever be creative, don't ever think outside of the box, don't ever look for a better way to do things? Don't rock the boat. Sticks and stones will break my bones. Words will never hurt me. We know that's not true. That's the most hurtful thing that you can do to somebody, is say something bad to them that takes up residence in their head and makes them wonder about the relationship or their value to the world. He who hesitates is lost. He who hesitates is lost. Really? Does that mean that I can't be cautious? That I can't think about something, meditate on it, decide whether or not it's wise or not? Some caution is a good thing, and it can prevent terrible decisions, can't it? All is fair in love and war. Oh, we know that one. Seems to advocate an end justifies the means sort of thing. Doesn't matter how I do it as long as I get what I want. But I know we don't believe that. Early to bed, early to rise. Get up early. I live by that. But lots of people get up early and they still live in terrible conditions. They're not getting what they want. Early to bed, early to rise doesn't get them anything. Ancient Israel had some as well, and Ezekiel addresses this. This one says, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Really? Do you blame everything on the parents? In Babylonian captivity, in this case, you can get the mood of the exiles. Psalms 137 is a very famous psalm. There's even been songs made about it. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, hung our hearts on the bushes by the side of the rough translation, I realize. And it says, and we wept as we remembered Zion. Bittered. Sad. Probably blaming somebody else for their condition. Both Jeremiah and Ezekiel were familiar with the aphorism, and both of them condemned it. In reading various responses to the text, I think that many were saying that they think Ezekiel missed the point here. But I tend to think that the reason they were criticizing the aphorism was less because they didn't believe it, and more because they didn't want their people to make excuses for their lives. This is where I think God was intending them to go with this. He was trying to say to His people, you are responsible for your canoe. You paddle your canoe. And don't worry about what your parents did. Take care of your own responsibility. In the 80s, I got fired from a church, and I can tell you what the big major issues were, and I can say that I after about a week or two of just feeling sorry for myself and writhing in grief, I realized I'd really kind of died for principle. That helped me to be able to think that. But a friend of mine who's a family therapist, he was at the time a student at Texas Tech working on his doctorate. He and I go out to eat. And his parting shot as I was getting out of the car was, don't forget, you had some part to play in this. I wanted to blame everybody else. I didn't want any of it to be my fault, but he was dead right. He was dead right. Ezekiel seems to me to be saying something similar to his fellow exiles. Blame it on your parents, but don't forget that you have a role in this. Maybe you wouldn't be in the spot you are today if you had acted with integrity and nobility and honesty and faith. You can, however, make a case that the past is really not past in many senses. Too much is documented about the devastating results of the alcoholic parent on their children, on their families. We know that's a real thing. Parents have eaten sour grapes and their children's teeth are set on edge. Locally, There's a program called Ace Overcomers. Dave Lockridge is the one that started that group and has done a lot of the working with doctors in Kaiser Permanente. And it's all built on the premise and on the science of knowing that traumatic events in our past are carried with us into adulthood. Almost becomes like DNA that influences our behavior and the way we view ourselves and how we come to events. ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experience. Yes, you can blame your parents. The past does count. So, in one sense, the exiles were correct to feel offended and victimized by what had happened. And it was ironic to me in some ways that God would say, I don't want to ever hear you bringing this proverb up again. Maybe it had become toxic for them. Maybe there was more there than meets the eye. But sometimes the parents have eaten sour grapes. What about when the spies were delivering a negative assessment of occupying Canaan to their people and everybody said, oh no, we'll never be able to do it, even though God had promised them that he was about to give them the land. Or the dividing of the monarchy. Saul, David, and Solomon were all gone now, and what used to be Israel splits into Galilee and Judea. And at that point, the nation went to hell in a handbasket. Things fell apart. Bad leaders. Poor moral decisions. Or in the case of Ezekiel, the exiles were there because of the political alliances and corrupt practices that led to Babylon's attack on Judah. The other side of this conundrum is also true, though, and I don't want us to forget this. The past influences the present, and the people of the present influence their own lives. Both are true. Ezekiel conducts a clinic in personal responsibility, however, I think here. Quit saying that, God says. Quit blaming the past. Summon yourself up and take responsibility. Today, we try to protect our children from every consequence of misbehavior. You see it on the baseball diamond when a parent gets mad at the umpire for throwing their kid out for unsportsmanlike conduct. What's that about? What are you teaching a kid when you do that? Or the parent blames his child's teacher for logically what is the child's misbehavior. Ask teachers like Jennifer and Mark what happens to kids when that happens, when parents involve themselves in that way. I used to teach a course called Systematic Training for Effective Parenting. It was not my course. It was one that you can buy commercially. But wonderful course premised on the idea that parents should be helping their children to learn independently what is good and bad and noble and right, what is of God and what is not, so that they carry it around with them wherever they go and whatever situation they're in, they have this stuff in them. As opposed to the child who will only behave when the light is on them, when the cop is in view, when the teacher's carrying a big stick. But let those things go away and the kid becomes a hellion in the classroom. Which kind of a kid do you want? Which do you want to raise? Well, I had been invited I can't remember where the church was, but after teaching the class, it was an adult class, but there was a kid in the class. And the kid comes up to me and he said, man, that was good news for us kids, wasn't it? And I said, I think you misunderstand. because what it does is it gives more responsibility to the kid and less to the parent. That was happened to be a really happy moment for me when that kid came up and said that, because that's what we think. Oh, my parents are not going to be as involved in my life. My parents are not going to be going around telling me what to do. My parents are not going to be going around punishing me when I do make a mistake. Ezekiel writes that what counts more than anything is the individual's behavior. It's what I do. Yes, you know, Bev and I are writing a book for our kids, and naturally you start thinking about your childhood, you think about how you were parented, and you think, well, I wish my parents had done this better, this particular thing. Yeah, that does have some influence. But my parents are long in the grave. God says to me, and He says to you, you are responsible for you. It's a lesson we ought to be teaching our children too. You are responsible for you. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. These are great songs that we sang today that just lend themselves to this idea. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That, I think, is the lesson of Ezekiel. Let's pray. Oh God, how tempting it is to blame someone else, something else. But we know the truth of what you said to Ezekiel. We are each ultimately responsible for our sin. So we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, to excite our consciences, to help us to be aware of what we're doing and the choices that we make. In Jesus' name, amen.